Yes, please, everyone sing. That's what we came here for today, to lift our voices to God and praise Him and honor Him and to lift each other up in song. And so let's do that as we sing these songs of praise this morning. Number 2, Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah. No soul.
Hallelujah, praise the
Number 5, How Great Thou Art. Following this song, we'll have the opening prayer. We'll sing the chorus twice, once after the second verse and once after the fourth verse.
No soul, O Lord my God. I see the Holy Spirit. I
Let's bow. Our dear Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you so much for allowing us to come together today on this first day of the week. Father, we thank you for this country that we have. We have the freedoms to worship you as we please, as we see right, as we're shown in the Bible. Father, we thank you for this wonderful world that you've given us, and we thank you for the blessings that you bestow upon us. We ask that you please be with our leaders of this country, that you would help them to make right choices and good decisions. Father, please be with us and give us open minds and help us to put away worldly thoughts as we go into this service and to pay attention and help us to take everything that we can out of it. We ask that you please be with those who are sick or who are not able to be with us today, and we ask that your healing hand be upon them and that you would restore them back to their much-needed health. Father, we thank you for your Son and for his sacrifice, and we thank you for what that sacrifice means to us as it gives us a hope of an eternal home in heaven with you one day. We ask that you help us to never forget that sacrifice and to always keep it close to our hearts. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
To get our minds thinking about what we're about to do, taking the Lord's Supper, I selected number 165, Thus Remember Me. No soul, Jesus.
At this time we will partake of the Lord's Supper. If you do not have the emblems, if you want to raise your hands, we have the availability to get that to you. It was a night long ago when God passed through Egypt, taking the life of the firstborn of every family who had not eaten at the Passover meal and when they did not have the blood on the doorpost. The Israelite families had been very careful to follow the instructions God had given them. They had chosen an unblemished lamb in its first year, and they had killed it, and they had carefully prepared it, and they placed the blood of the lamb on the doorposts. They had roasted the lamb and gathered it to eat it, and consequently, they were spared when God passed over. The Egyptians, who had not prepared, lost the firstborn of every family. As the wailing cry went up from the Egyptians, one can easily imagine every firstborn Israelite looking at the wailing cry went up from the Egyptians. One can easily imagine every firstborn Israelite looking at the remaining carcass of the lamb on the table and saying, "He died for me." And as a result of the Passover, Israel was set free from Egyptian slavery. And God decreed that the feast that had preceded their deliverance should be repeated year after year as a memorial. It was arranged so that the children would ask its meaning, and the father or whoever presided would explain each dish. This is the lamb that was slain for deliverance of our forefathers. This unleavened bread is the haste which they went out of Egypt. These bitter herbs are the bitterness of the slavery that they endured. And they observed this year after year. And this ritual became increasingly familiar to each child. Over 1,000 years later, Jesus presided at the Passover feast observed by his disciples on the night before his death. And he likely followed the same traditional explanation of each item, just as the disciples had heard it year after year all their lives. But Luke tells us that Jesus proceeded, and he did something a little different, a little unfamiliar. He took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it. And he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood, which is shed for you." Jesus was instituting a new feast. And just as the old Passover was observed in the expectation of deliverance from Egypt, Egyptian slavery, this new feast was instituted in the expectation of the deliverance from the sin that would be accomplished from the death on the cross and the sacrifice of our Savior. Just as the memorial is repeated annually for the Passover, the Lord's Supper was to be repeated as a memorial. He said, "This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." On the first day of the week, disciples came and they would break bread, Acts 20, verse 7 tells us. The Apostle Paul wrote, "For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us," in 1 Corinthians. So as we look upon the bread and the fruit of the vine, we should say, as the firstborn of Israel said of the Lamb, "He died for me." Let us bow. Our dear Heavenly Father, as we partake of this bread, let us remember the sacrifice that was made on our behalf so that we could be forgiven of our sins. This sacrifice had a cost. And so as we remember this bread as it emblemizes the broken body of Christ, let us do this in a manner pleasing unto you and realize that this was done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, we bow before you again, remembering the blood that was shed on the cross for our sins. It was this blood that saves us from damnation, and through this blood we have the hope of eternal life in heaven. Again, let us remember the sacrifice, and as we partake, do so in a manner that's pleasing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before the lesson this morning, we're going to sing number 33, Mighty is the Lord. And we'll sing all the verses and the chorus once after the final verse. And if you would, please stand for this song.
Domiso, mighty is the Lord.
Seated. Following the sermon, we'll sing number 317, All Things Are Ready.
Harold, this button's not working. I got it.
I want to welcome each one of you this morning, especially our visitors. To our visitors, I am not the regular minister here.
This is a fearful place right here. And I titled it a confession or a realization that, why am I uncomfortable standing before you? Why am I uncomfortable teaching an adult class? I approached Dallas Wednesday night about something, and he commented, well, some of us have a fear of public speaking. Brother Leon Manning and I, we counted the money back in the back for, I don't know, 20 years. We had a lot of good conversations back there, and we talked about this. Why the fear? Why don't you want to do this? Why are you uncomfortable? And he said, everybody out here wants me to succeed. They want you to succeed. Well, I determined that there's more than just you wanting me to succeed. And I won't have to go into some animal husbandry here, but this is the way I determined, or how I came to my conclusion. I raise cattle and I raise steers and heifers, not just to go to the sale barn for kids to show, so they're special. And I do a lot of artificial insemination, a lot of embryo transfer. It's pretty involved. I spend a lot of time with a man in Nacogdoches. When he has a bunch of cows to do, I go with him, or I did go. I don't do it so much anymore because I wanted to learn. I wanted to spend my time. I wanted to get better at what I was doing. And when I would come home, the books were right there beside my bed, and I would dig into those books to find out more information, to get more comfortable, to get better at it. And then I come home one day, and the Huntington High School, one of the ag teachers called me and says, can I bring a field trip out there? And they did that two or three times, and I was talking away. I was totally comfortable in front of those youngsters and that, and I didn't have a problem with information, and I determined that you don't only want me to do good, but I had a problem with my knowledge of the scriptures, and you have to be comfortable with the scriptures. Let's see what happens here. In Deuteronomy 6, we'll begin in verse 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as a frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Frontlets on your doorpost. There's all kind of props you could put up here, but these are the props that I'm comfortable with, that I'm familiar with, and we'll come to that in a moment. But I determined that was my problem, is just weakness in the scriptures. Fielding questions. When I would teach an adult class, you know what I thought about? What was Brother Joe Smithman going to ask? So I determined that I had to be successful enough in that class that he would be okay with what I taught. And believe me, he never tried to embarrass you, not one time. And but we know he's familiar in the scriptures. If you go to Matthew 22 and 29, Jesus, he was talking to the Sadducees, and he told them, you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. You do not know the scriptures. So what am I comfortable with? What are you comfortable with? If I walk over here right now, these days are behind me. I walk on a softball field right now and I'm comfortable. I can play ball. And this right here, this is my game. Reagan claimed to be identified as a basketball player. I'm identified as a ball player. I can go in a gym right now and I can play. I can play. I mean, I'm not as quick, but I still know the game. Why am I having problems with this? We have, there's a Florida College fundraiser in Arlington every year, and we play a softball tournament. It's Saturday all day long. You might play four games, you might play seven games. I don't know if Jesse knows this, but the first time we went up there about 15 years ago, Jesse took a team up there. I didn't play hardly at all. I was livid. Before the last game, I walked out of the dugout and I had me a team together for the next year. That's how strong I am about it. And I've had a team every year since. And you play 10 players. Well, there's two, three on the bench. And it's always, how many are we going to take? You know, those on the bench aren't happy. They're not happy because they're not playing. When I coach basketball, I tell the kids, take the ball to bed with you. You need to dribble it in the dark. So you become familiar with it. Same thing with the Bible. We don't use it enough. Now, some of you do. I'm sure you do. There's exceptions to everything I'm saying today. But why am I not prepared and willing to be responsible here at this church building? You know, here, I'm going to play. When it goes on, when we go on the field, you want to play, I'm in. You want to play, I'm in. When we call for volunteers, no, I don't know. And part of it's just responsibility. You don't want to be committed. You don't want to be responsible. Or I don't want to be committed. I don't want to be responsible. And I know our culture is going that direction. But we have to become more committed to church and church services and Christianity. And like I said, my hand fits this. I would play this all day right now, but there's nobody here willing to play. That's the way it is. And it needs to be that way about the Bible. And when I don't like just reading, you know, you need to read and read for substance. You need to read to get something out of it. And so you have to, I don't know how you train yourself or discipline yourself to do that. Whenever I was teaching, I think it was a junior high class last quarter, there was a young man that came in there. He was younger than the rest, and he wasn't comfortable. I said something to his father about it. I said, Jay's isn't comfortable in here. From then on, he studied his lesson every day, every service, and his hand was like this. Every time I asked a question, he was part of the class, just like that. And we can be the same way. But we have to decide if we're going to have that personal study and that practice. We'll spend hours practicing with a ball. I remember my daddy had my backboard was on the house, on the roof of the house, and I would be shooting the ball, and he couldn't go to sleep at night. He'd come jerk me, said, because it's bouncing off that roof. And we need to do our scripture that way. We need to teach our children that way. Hebrews 11 talks about Noah and his commitment. Just by faith, he committed, gave his life to building that boat, raising his family. A couple of weeks ago, Reagan preached on falling in love with the Word. We have to find a way to do that. I know this is shorter than normal, but my point has been made, I hope. There are different degrees of commitment, and Jesus, he made that full commitment. He took our souls upon himself and went to the cross that we might have eternal life. If any of you have anything that you want, if you need to be baptized or repent, come forward at this time.
Again, we want to express our thank you for your visit with us. For those who are visiting today, it's encouraging to us when you take time to come and worship God with us. And I'm sure this place you need to be this morning as well. We do have a very good crowd today, and we will meet again this evening at 5 o'clock. If you're in this area, and we'd love to have you visit with us again this evening and worship God with us. Thank Monty for the thoughts this morning. And is there anything we need to mention before we close this morning? We'll be led in prayer.
Please bow. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you've given to us. Thank you for bringing us here to worship you and to sing praises of your name. Thank you for this lesson, and please help it to, please apply it to our lives. Please help us to study your word to where we're comfortable speaking in front of other people about it. Please help us to hunger for it all day and every day. Please be with those who were mentioned that could not be here. Please bring us back tonight safely and take us home safely. In Jesus' name, amen.